Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google, we're good. So those are the killer apps right now. It wasn't like this, though. It wasn't like this in the past. The first killer app that I used was Prince of Persia. I didn't play it in Apple II, I played it in Microsoft, I can't remember which one, I was too small. That made me dream about what you could do with computers. You could be a prince, you could do magical things. So immediately when this came out, I was the greatest fan. And let me tell you, one of the killer apps still today for me is the Zelda Ocarina of Time. But there was a problem. There was a problem with this machine. So one day I was playing outside. I was in my village. And there was a big storm, I was on my bike, I was like 20 minutes away from home. I got soaking wet, but I was really hoping that I could go home and play Ocarina of Time with my friends. Oh boy, that didn't happen because I had left the window open and my Nintendo 64 was next to the window. So the big storm wetted everything and I lost my Nintendo 64. So the enemy for those killer apps was just a simple glass of water. A little bit of water could destroy those killer apps, this Zelda Ocarina of Time. And you're laughing at me because I'm an idiot and I left the Nintendo 64 next to the window. But you're gonna laugh a bit more to these guys in the Metro of London who left the door open when they had some cement going on. So that was terrible for them, but nothing of this would have happened if they had what we have now. The cloud. So the cloud is extremely convenient, right? The cloud is amazing. The cloud allows us to use everything that we want from wherever we want. And this is me using apps as an adult. I use Spotify for my music. I use GitHub to check the code of my peers. And I use Google Docs to do this presentation, for example. And if I lose my laptop, what happens? Absolutely nothing. I can use it from here. End of the story is that the cloud is amazing. The cloud is really good. It frees us from the burden of storing, of backing up. You can access it from wherever. You can do the computation of extremely complex apps somewhere else and use it with a device that is not so powerful. It is very, very inexpensive as opposed to buying the hardware every time that you want to play a game, like my Ocarina of Time. And it's tremendously scalable. So in summary, the cloud is just very, very convenient. Let me prove a point here. Who here runs an Ethereum node? Alright, few of you. Oh, no. That's pretty good. Who runs it in a VPS? Why?
Is maintenance and
maintenance?
Security.
Who else was running it in a VPS? Come on, there was more people. Why?
I don't have a home.
Fantastic, exactly. So basically, that's a good one. So basically you run it because it's very convenient, right? It's very convenient. So we've looked, that sort of proves the point of how convenient it is, especially if you don't have a home, to run any application that you want, including an Ethernode. We've looked at the apps that I use and apps that I used to use, but let's look at the apps that the world is using. This is, when I say FANG, more broadly, what I mean is this. Those are the apps that people are using the most on their phones right now. And I took the liberty of investigating a little bit where those apps are hosted. Because yeah, you have Facebook on your phone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all the magic happens on your phone. So what I found out is that, four of the top five are in Facebook, Facebook servers. Facebook has massive data centers. We can call it the Facebook cloud, even if it's, they don't sell cloud services. Four of them are in Google Cloud, two of them are in AWS, two of them use a multi-cloud approach, meaning Google and AWS, and probably some others, like DigitalOcean, who knows. Five of them, they use cloud services, but they're mostly Chinese companies, and they're not. They do not disclose who those infrastructure providers are. But I've checked on their annual reports, and they use cloud services. And three of them do not use the cloud. Why? Because they're media players. And arguably, the distribution of these apps, if it happens through Google Play, happens through the cloud as well. But the app itself does not need the cloud, right? How much does it cost to have this app running? 13 billion on network infrastructure for Google. Last year, this year they have one. Snap, who was on that list, pays 600 million a year to Google and to AWS. Lyft, 100 million. Slack, 50 million. Pinterest, 125 million. Who the hell uses Pinterest anymore? Apple, 360 million per year. Did you know that Apple Cloud is actually Amazon Web Services Cloud? So just five clients bring us to $1.25 billion US dollar a year. If you look at some of the forecast of the industry, it's 83 billion in 3 years. That's a lot of money, and those apps are free. Mind blowing. There's two apps that have a subscription model, Netflix and Spotify, and two of them, Uber and Amazon, is a pay-per-use, so the app, downloading the app is free, but actually, if you want to use the services, you have to pay. Those apps are free, and they're spending billions a year supporting the infrastructure. But you guys are not dumb, you guys are in this room, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know what happens when the apps are free, right? What they're selling is your day. And that's cool. Nobody cares. It's even fun. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows it. And we laugh at it when we read Apple contractors regularly hear confidential details. They hear people having sex. Yeah, it's even funny, right? Unless you're homosexual and you live in Saudi Arabia where you can get killed. What if somebody reports you? So that's a little bit less fun. There was another example of data that was misused when it fell into the wrong hands. So we're in March 1940. Germany invades the Netherlands. And the Netherlands at that point was one of the most progressive countries that we have in the world. And they were a secular country. And they had one of the most just ways of dealing with religion, which means that they had a religious budget on their annual accounts. And they split it accordingly to the number of the percentage of the population that was of one religion or another. Which means that in the census, they knew what religion was everyone. So the Germans come in, they just go to the census office, they look, and they have the name and the address of every single Jew in the Netherlands. That's why the Netherlands has the biggest in terms in percentage and in absolute terms of Jews deceased during the Second World War and after. Right, so we don't have to go so far, we don't have to go to Germany in the 1940s to see examples of how data can be misused. Everybody knows about Cambridge Analytica, now they've boomed. Any Brits here? Probably, if it wasn't for them, you guys would have a different outcome, probably. The what-if scenarios have never been my favorite, but it is for sure that they used data to target people that were on the fence and tip the balance to one side. There's another person that used Cambridge Analytica services, another president, and you know how much he paid for Cambridge Analytica services? Make a guess. How much does it cost to win an election?
10 million.
Low. Lower.
Oh, 5.
5 million. 5 million. A cool 5 million. You get data of pretty much everybody that has a Facebook account. And you can go really deep. This is the former CEO of Cambridge Analytica. And they based their work on Alexander Kursonsky. I can look it up for you guys. There's a researcher that created back like long time ago created a series of algorithms that with 150 clicks, 150 likes on Facebook, they could know you better than your best friends. They knew things about you. They knew more things about you than your best friends. If you are a closeted gay, they fucking knew. This data is dangerous and can be used for the wrong things, and this is happening right now. Does that make people not use these apps? Is privacy really a value proposition? Look at how many users do we have on WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook. 1 billion daily users. Daily users. I am one of them. Messenger, almost 1 billion. TikTok, 200 million, where you put your videos, you put everything, you're almost half naked there, they know everything about you. Facebook, 1.6 billion, that's a lot of people, daily users. And just for comparison, let's look at this weekend, I look at the separate apps, and that's the, that's 3,000 users. But we're doing great, I mean, we're fine. I think we need to improve, and I suggest that we take another model, we take another approach. We take another approach that takes the power out of FAN, out of all these cloud services. How do we get our apps, our decentralized apps, to get close, even close, to the traditional apps levels of adoption? Well, first of all, they need to be
free.
Free, okay, yeah. What else? What was the magic word?
Convenient.
They need to be easy to use. They need to be convenient. There's this unspoken rule, written, that says that more or less a technology, just because it's better, will not take over the previous technology. It needs to be 10 times better. So we need to make things that are 10 times better than the things that are just the killer apps right now, which are not Ethereum at this point. And what's better than free?
Get paid for it,
and we're paying a lot of money to this cloud provider, so I suggest a personally owned distributed cloud that shifts the transfer of value from the cloud cartel to the user. So this is the current model right now, where the data is paid, well, the money comes from selling the data and goes to the cloud provider. There's also other flows, but I want to focus specifically on that flow of money because we have one thing that they don't have, and it's a native way to transfer value. So I suggest that if I want to do a decentralized Spotify, we do it like this. We pay the users to host these apps for us. Our user Spotify that pays me. I'm sorry for you. You couldn't because you don't have a house. You can't have it in your own house. But maybe you can put it in a VPS as well. Should be fine. So I suggest that here, when we have Spotify, somebody pays. Yeah, okay. Most apps are free. We're gonna touch into that. They pay here, and we transfer the value to the user. We're far away from that. We're far away from that, and I'm going to try to make a list of what pieces need to come together to create a model where this would work. Number one, it needs to be as convenient, as accessible from anywhere and all the time, like the cloud is. This is not a 10x. This is the bare minimum. We need this, and we don't have it right now. It's a pain in the ass. But we're working on this. We're working on the infrastructure side to make this infrastructure better, more accessible from everywhere. So how? We're working with Archibald. I'm going to use two DevOps concepts here. A high availability cluster is, everybody knows what it is. It's basically, it's a series of nodes that are connected, and when the first one goes down, the second one takes over. Archibald is developing a system specifically targeted to ETH 2.0, so anybody can start staking from their own homes. You create a federation with your friends, and if your node goes down, the second node takes over, and then you avoid being slashed because of downtime on your node. So good, we're getting closer to high availability here. There's another thing called load balancing in DevOps, which is basically distributing the load through the nodes or the servers that are there. And there's Pocket Network over there, who are doing an excellent job on creating this orchestrator right here that redirects the traffic or the transactions to the nodes that are online. So we've got high availability, we've got load balancing, we're getting somewhere there. But this is just the bare minimum. This is not a 10x. Another thing that is not a 10x is throughput and scalability. There's things that are going to help us get better with scalability. I'm not an expert on that. I'm not going to touch on it. But the roll-up with zero knowledge proofs, Ethereum 2.0, Layer 2, I'm sure you guys are absolute experts on that. This is what we need. It's a bare minimum. But we're starting to get somewhere with privacy. We said that privacy wasn't a killer proposition, wasn't a value proposition, but it is. Just not on its own. It's not 10 times better. It is 4 times better. Why do I say that? Because given the chance of using a private app and an app that sells you data, and they work exactly the same, meaning that they're exactly the same level of availability and the same level of transactions, etc., etc., you will use the one that's private. But we're at the bare minimum right here. On the infrastructure side, what we can do to ensure privacy, we can include in that hardware, we can include environments, trusted environments like the one on SGX. We can create, and then with zero knowledge proofs, we can create them within those enclave, and that's available for the app users to do whatever they want in a secure and private way. Also, we've seen that the model means it worked for apps that had the Spotify worked for somebody that was paying for a subscription, and then you pay the user to host it, right? There's other models. There's DataFun, for example, which is a way more ethical way of using the data. So we don't have to just throw away all the data, but we should be able to let people opt in on what data they want to give and to whom. Another thing that needs to happen is incentivization. Pocket Network, ETH 2.0, Storage, Raiden, Bitnode, there are many projects out there, and one of them will not give you enough money to run a project. But if you stack them one on top of the other on the same machine, you start having a money box in your house that gives you enough money to sustain the box itself. So that's not a 10x yet. There's one more component. There need to be apps that people use, and that people can use, and they can be easy to use. Give value to user. It's not only UX and UI, I'm sorry, I should have changed that. It's basically value proposition. Give value to the users. Most of the apps right now use the hook. I don't know who's familiar with the hook model here, but basically what they do is they trick you into using it all the time. They make you addicted, they make you hooked, because the most killer app in this universe is an app that buzzes every time somebody from the other side of the world gives you a like on your picture, and that buzzes on your phone, and you look at it, and then you like another thing, and then you put it back into the pocket, and then it buzzes again because some other person has clicked onto something. Something as stupid as clicking is designed to make you addicted to it. So when you develop apps, please make sure that you're not a dealer. Make sure that you actually want to use it, and make sure that it materially improves the user's life. This is the way we're going to have apps that can compete, at least, with the current model. So what we're doing at DappNode is taking care of the infrastructure side. We are working on the first part, on the infrastructure, having this infrastructure being available from everywhere. Throughput scalability, the Ethereum Foundation, and everybody is very, very much focused on that. Privacy, we're including SGX, and we're including systems inside our boxes that you can leverage for your dApps and make them private and secure. Incentivization, with ETH 2.0, that will help us a lot, but you need to do the last part. You need to create apps that give value. And I suggest that the next time you're doing a human-centered design system to create an app, think about this model. Think about, instead of giving money to the cloud providers who are going to take this data and they're going to use it for God knows what, think about this. Think about making people host it, incentivize people to host your apps. If you want to know how to do it, please get in touch. We can help you design something on DappNode that will be hopefully almost as good as using VPS, or even more convenient. Thank you very much.